Well, greetings and welcome. This is your show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we have the show team in place. And we're so happy that you're there, and we're going to be even happier when you call and participate with today's conversation. Hey, Deb.
Hi, Jerry. Happy Monday to you. I just got back from Dallas, Texas. Adam Bly and I were there in Dallas for an incredible event for the entire day on Saturday. Over 400 people showed up in the pouring rain. There was thunder and lightning. It was incredible. And a lot of people said hi to you, Jerry, because they're also Take Two listeners. And so if you're listening in the Dallas area, thanks for coming out and getting through all that rain. I know we had an amazing day, and I hope you got home safely. We just loved it so very much. It was incredible. I just wanted to say thank you for all the prayers for the great event for Guadalupe Radio Network. So I was excited about it, but I couldn't wait to start today because a lot of the folks that were there on Saturday said they're listening today because they love the topic. What is the one thing you would change about the world? And so we want you to call in and share one or two or three or many things you'd change about the world. Here is the number. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We're broadcasting all over the world. This is a worldwide platform. This is your show. This is where we come together and learn and grow together, walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God after this brief hour we get to spend with one another. Whew. Okay, here's the number. 833-288-3986. Can you tell I'm really pumped? Because I love being with the folks out on location and meeting everyone, and they share stories about what they love about Take Two and the spirit world. And it's so much fun. You know, I've always said we should have always taken this show on the road, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, never know. That could happen someday. God only knows about things like that. And God only knows why things are such a mess in the world today. What is one thing, or more than one thing, that you would change about the world today? And again, it doesn't have to be some kind of horrible thing that you would wish was something, a good thing. It could be maybe just you would like to tweak something that might even be good in the world today. But what is something, if you could just sort of, you know, have, what do they say, be king for a day or queen for a day and change something about the entire world? I guess we'd call it, if you could be God for a day. What is something, if you, you know, in your heart that you would like to see different about today's world? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So that's the question we're asking today. And Jerry did share that the show team is in place. So you've got Matt Kabinsky waiting to answer your calls. He is, I'm telling you, he's delightful to talk to. So Matt's waiting to answer the call as you dial 833-288-3986. Charles Beery is at the controls doing a fine job. Hopefully you can hear us in a crystal clear fashion. So that's wonderful. And we've got Michael McCall on social media. Jerry and I are waving to you guys. The chats are going. You guys are so awesome. So thank you for that. So send your comments in on what's the one thing or many things you would change about the world. Now, there is like the most obvious, right? That as for us as Catholic Christians, obviously, I would think we'd all say we'd stop abortion, right? We definitely would stop abortion. We would want everybody to believe in Jesus Christ, right? And so those are the obvious things that are very important. But there's also other things that we live with on the day-to-day basis of things we would like to see changed in the world. Do you have a certain idea about this, or do you go home at the end of a long day and you think, gosh, I just wish the world would be different in this way? Would you please answer the question? And please, you don't have to be Catholic to call in. You are part of the Take Two family. So come on, fill those last phone lines. Let's go. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, maybe it's something that impacts you directly. You know, maybe it's something about the world that causes you, some consternation or pain or grief or something. Maybe it's something that, affects somebody that you know and love, maybe a child. Maybe it's big picture stuff. For me, you know, really, this is going to be, it's going to sound like I'm just sort of lumping a lot of things together, but I would just change the godless spiral that we're in right now. I mean, it is such, we are sliding downwards so quickly as a world in so many ways, morally and culturally and socially, and even just as far as, you know, our respect for human dignity goes. And so I would love to be able to change that. And really, it's only going to be God's grace and all of us sacrificing and praying that's going to be able to bring something like that about.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that when you said the godless and the spiral, you know, you're right. And if you look at the news every single day, it's getting worse, not better. And that's a problem. We do have some open phone lines, 833-288-3986. And since Jerry shared, I'll share. I wish one thing that I would change is I really wish people would appreciate each moment. And what I mean by that is I just feel like we're hurrying and rushing through life. Everything is hurry up, you know, eat dinner in 6 minutes and then get to the next event, you know, get to your phone, go here, go there. Nobody kind of, I feel like there's this living in the moment. And I don't mean living in the moment so you just let everything, you know, go, you just go do whatever you feel like doing it on a whim. But I just wish folks would really practice appreciating each moment, because we don't know when God is going to call us home next. I mean, we could finish, literally, we could really finish this broadcast and God could call us home and that's it. And I wish that we would just spend more time in the moment and appreciating it, so that when we are called home, Jerry, that God would say, wow, you really lived life to the fullest, right to the end.
Well, and there's something beautifully spiritual and, you know, theological about that, as you know. I mean, there's even that book, you know, Abandonment to Divine Providence, or the Sacrament of the Present Moment. And it really is true. I was actually kind of contemplating that as I was driving yesterday. I was just thinking, you know, there have been relationships in my life, people I've loved and lost, you know, I mean, they passed away. And we all have these people and these things in our lives, and they're just sort of wake-up calls, you know. We kind of think to ourselves, boy, you know, I did my best in loving that person and treating them with respect and all of that, but did I really, really, truly appreciate every single moment that we had as friends or family or what have you? So yeah. I definitely relate to what you're talking about. Just one line open here, 833-288-3986. It is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you starting off a new week of broadcasts here, asking you, what is one thing, or maybe more than one thing, you would change about this world that we live in right now? Maybe you think everything's just peachy keen right now. Well, that's okay. You can maybe sit this one out. And if you don't think anything needs changing, just sit this one out and listen to what other people have to say. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good probability that you have something you would like to contribute to our conversation.
That's true. So Jerry said, one line left. It's waiting for you. Come on. You know you have the phone in your hand. Just start dialing. 833-288-3986. What's one thing you would change about the world? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Stay with us. We're asking the question today, what's one thing you would change about the world? And Gil will be up first in just a moment. Hang on, Gil. Don't go anywhere. I just wanted to share this with our listeners. Get the Our Lady of Lourdes Holy Water font. This beautiful Our Lady of Lourdes Holy Water font is perfect for any entrance to your home as a reminder of our baptism. By the way, I love holy water fonts. Jerry knows this. I have holy water fonts in all the entrances of my home. Yeah. Anyway, Mary, you don't have to do what I do, but I'm just letting you know that. Mary stands adorned in a white robe and a veil and a pale blue sash around her waist and her hands pressed together in prayer. A silver and gold rosary hangs from her arm and a gold halo encircles her head. Oh, wow, that is beautiful. The font is hand-painted and imported from Peru. It measures approximately 4 inches wide by 11 inches high, and it's available now at EWTNRC.com. And there's free standard shipping on online orders of $75 or more. So standard shipping applies to the continental U.S. only. All you have to do is use code FREE at checkout. And by the way, folks, I did say at the beginning of the show that I just got back from Dallas, but I am now on Friday, I'll be heading to Washington, D.C. for the Fishers of Men dinner for Guadalupe Radio Network. We're honoring the Little Sisters of the Poor. Jerry, you know how I love the Little Sisters of the Poor. And they will be honoring them. Archbishop William E. Laurie will be there and just a 200 other fine folks in D.C. If you're interested in coming, this is the last chance. So all you have to do is go to grnonline.com. fishersofmen.com. Go to the events section and look for the Fishers of Men dinner in Washington, D.C. It's this Saturday. I'm so excited. I think I'm going to squeeze the Little Sisters of the Poor. You know me, Jerry, with the nuns. I love nuns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm excited about that. So this is going to, it's been a great month, and I'm really thrilled for everybody coming together and really praising God and being there to support Catholic Radio.
Great. Well, that should be quite an event, as it is every year. We're going to go to your calls now. What is something you would change about the world if you had the ability to do so? 833-288-3986. Debbie promised Gil would be first, and I will keep that promise for her. Go to Gil in New York, listening today on Alexa. Hello, Gil. Welcome to your first up today on the program.
Hi. I don't know if you remember me. I'm the blind caller, Gil, that called
sure
up
do.
Catholic Answers and everything.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah. How you doing, Gil?
I didn't know the Lord most of my life, and after I came to know the Lord, I was still a DJ. I was mixing music of the world, but what I did that was different that I would like to change is that when I played music that was secular, I would play music with more positive lyrics about love and marriage and everything that has to do with glorifying God. Even though I didn't know how to read well, I taught myself how to play the piano by ear, so I have the opportunity of doing that today. When I do my music, I do a lot of Christian music, but I also do a little bit of secular music, like You Are My Sunshine or Love Me Tender or Atlantic Star for Always. You know, music that kind of brings about the gift of marriage and communication and cooperation and commitment. So I really enjoy playing the keyboard. I suffer from ringing in the ears, and because of that, I taught myself how to play the keyboard. And I live in a nursing home, so I bring a lot of joy to some of the people here.
Wow. God bless you for that, Gil. Debbie and I both remember you. I know myself, you know, going way back, like you said, to the days when I was hosting Catholic Answers Live. And I remember you know, sharing the fact that you are, you know, blind, and also that you had the ringing in the ears very, very badly. I remember one show I'd left as host of Catholic Answers Live, but I used to listen all the time, and I heard you call in and say, you know, share how that was really, really bad at that time. So, you know, our prayers have been with you, and, you know, you're touching on something I think that is just super important, and that is, you know, music is so powerful. It is absolutely powerful. It has the ability to raise us up. It has the ability to bring us down, and I think, you know, the types of music we listen to is all very, very important. And so I think especially, Gil, that you're bringing the joy to those in the nursing home with you. That is an amazing gift, because we've all known people who have been in nursing homes, and they don't get a lot of visitors sometimes, and they don't have a lot of opportunities to really smile and be joyful. So Debbie, Gil is bringing that to them. I think that's fantastic.
I completely agree. And Gil, tinnitus or tinnitus can be very debilitating. It can be extremely painful throughout the day, because it just grabs your attention. I know, because I suffer from it as well. It's very tough, but you are turning it around, and you're making it so much with the gifts and talents that God has given you to be able to bless others. I just hope and pray you continue forever. And I love that. And I think it's a great ministry work, and God bless you. Many abundant blessings, I hope, come back to you, Gil.
In Psalm 119, I've memorized a lot of scripture. Psalm 119, verse 71, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your decrees. And then verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. And a couple from the health food store gave me the Bible in Braille, which I rejected at first, but later on I accepted it. And as John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I also share scripture with people. I share the gospel with people, which is the good news.
That's
that Christ
incredible.
Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Well, Gil, you've turned what a lot of people would, you know, would really kind of be the ruin of a lot of people, or really kind of end their lives as far as, you know, just being wanting to contribute to society. But you have turned those things, like you said, you know, that you were afflicted and God, you know, healed you and brought you to a great place. You were in a fantastic place, Gil. Thanks for starting us off on this program today. Going to be a tough act to follow, Debbie, but I think we have a lot of other great takes coming up. Gil, thank you. God bless you. 833-288-3986. Asking you today, what is something, or maybe more than one thing, you would change about the world if you could?
Okay, so we Gil's going to free that phone line. You can jump in at 833-288-3986. What's one thing you would change about the world? Let's ask Carol. Carol's in Rochester, New York, on our friends at the Station of the Cross. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not as blessed as your last caller, but I'm just very simple thinking.
Sure.
Why doesn't President Biden get all the leaders of the world together in a big meeting and talk about love one another? How the world would be much better instead of hating and killing if we just love one another and teach each other how to do it. Each country, you know? It'd be so much simpler.
Well, there's no question about that, Carol. You have absolutely stated the plain truth there. Unfortunately, we're dealing with human nature and, you know, concupiscence and original sin and ideologies and philosophies and egos and, you know, goes on and on and on. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, you're right, Jerry. And Carol, don't get me started on my soapbox, but here's what I think the problem is you got a lot of people who are compromised and are unwilling to make the changes to get on the right road to holiness. We're all called to be saints, and it's a tough road. It's not easy. We have to shed the things that keep us down and keep us where the demons can occupy our thoughts and things like that. That's really terrible. But there are a lot of compromised people walking around in certain areas. No judgment on any particular person. I'm just saying it in general. We're all that way. And if we don't get on the right path, that's why Jerry said at the beginning of the show, this world is just spiraling downward and it's going very fast. So Carol, prayer works. And I one of my prayers that I say every day is a prayer to have people's hearts be opened and so they can make those necessary changes. What do you say?
Yes, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Carol, you pray hard for that, and we all will. And, you know, with God, all things are possible. I think Debbie likes that scripture verse, don't you? With
it's my
God,
favorite.
All things are, I know.
I know.
That's why I'm teasing you there. With God, all things are possible. That could come about. Carol, thank you for the call. Bless your heart. We appreciate you listening and being part of the conversation. Personally, Debbie, I feel like something is going to happen in the world that God is going to
wake people up.
Yeah, to wake people up. But also, I think there's going to be a real return to God, a real revival. Maybe in our lifetime, maybe in the coming months or years, it could get underway. Something like that could take obviously generations. But I have a sort of a hopeful optimism about what's going to happen, what's going to unfold in the world.
But can I just ask you this one question that always bothers me about that? Mm-hmm. Why do we have to wait for something to wake us up? Why do we have to be so scared to be able to make the changes? I mean, we as Catholic Christians should be doing that on our own, because the idea is we come from God, we're going back to God. And so it bothers me sometimes that this major event or something or illumination or something has to happen for people to wake up. What do you say to that?
Well, yeah, what I would say to that is I don't even know that something, real super drastic has to happen. I think things have happened already.
Well, that's true.
I think, it's a lot of things that got my attention, that's for sure. And I think, you and I are not alone when we say that. So, but I just feel like God is ready to pour out grace upon the world. That's what I'm praying for every day. And I really, truly, I see that in my spirit. I see that coming at some point. I don't have any specific, I'm not a prophet. I don't have any specific dates or anything. But I just really feel like something good is going to start to happen. And probably it really already has started to happen in many ways.
Mm. That's hopeful.
I'm an optimist, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I am too. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so let's hear what Michael has to say. Michael's waiting so patiently in Bowling Green, Ohio, on our friends at Annunciation Radio. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And when I heard the question come up, is this something that you may hear in my voice that I have a disability, but I also work in the disability system, helping people with disabilities. And one thing I often encounter is that people with disabilities are often put into an impoverished system or cast aside. And one thing that Jesus did never do, Jesus always was treating everyone equally, and yes, there may have been some flaws of who they were, but he did not cast people aside. He healed people when we read in scripture. And so I often face a lot of stuff in my life where I've been cast aside because of a disability, or I just know that people who I work with, they're pushed aside because they have a disability. And so I would love to see that humanity would wake up and realize that we all are children of God, no matter whether we have a disability or not. And I'm going to continue to pray for that, continue to work for that through my own way of praying and advocacy. So that's what I would like to bring to your conversation.
Go ahead, Deb. Yeah.
Well, Michael, you're going to get me started again on my soapbox, because this is where I become like unleashed and I have no filter on this. I completely agree with you. It drives me crazy. I don't understand what people are thinking. And it's not until something drastic happens in their life that they realize that they're not super perfect with a perfect health and a perfect body and a perfect everything. I agree with you, Michael. I can tell you this. I see it not just with, like you're working in that field, in that ministry of those that have disabilities, but I see it with people who have illnesses, cancer and other things. I mean, I've had friends, the moment you tell them you had cancer, they run from you. I mean, what do they think? It's contagious? I mean, the whole thing is I don't understand it, and it's really unfortunate, but I would say, Michael, that I believe that the world is conditioning us and training us and brainwashing us into thinking that everything has to be shiny, new, the best version, the best everything. Nothing can be broken. Nothing can be tainted. Nothing can be old, because then you got to get rid of it. So I don't know what the problem is, Michael, other than, again, prayer. We've got to pray that people's eyes are opened. Because I think it's very sinful. And I don't even know if people, well, I take that back. I think some people do realize that they're treating people poorly. They're just in a whole different world. What do you say, Jerry?
Well, Michael, I want to say, first of all, thank you for taking the time to call in and for being involved, like you said, in the disability system that you are in. I'm sure that you're bringing, many, many beautiful things to a lot of people that you interact with. And I would just speak from my own experience. I think I've grown a lot in this area, but I can remember a time way back many, many years ago. I think there's a discomfort sometimes, not a dislike of disabled people, but it's like, what can I do for this person? What should I do? What can I do? And then sometimes we just sort of resolve to doing nothing, because mm-hmm. we're uncomfortable with not knowing what does this person mm-hmm. need? Mm-hmm. What can I do that's going to make his or her life better? I definitely have an empathy for disabled people right now, but that I didn't have many, many years ago. And I'm not saying that I was mean to anybody. I just, like I said, Debbie and Michael, it was just sort of an ignorance on my part. And I think a lot of people are in that place right now. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that everybody is. I'm sure there are some that are just okay. outright critical, like you said, Debbie. Yeah. But I think a lot of people are just unsure of what to do.
Okay, so discomfort, I would give them the benefit of the doubt on that. Yes, people are uncomfortable with it. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. I agree with you. But then I've also seen, and I think, Michael, you could probably confirm this, I've also seen people that they have no regard at all, no patience, and no understanding. And really, quite honestly, you can see when that's why, Michael, I do not like cocktail parties. I just don't like them. There's so many reasons I don't like them, because it's interesting. I've been to parties before where there will be disabled people, and people will pass right by them and go for the person of honor or prestige or whatever. Have you seen it, Michael?
I have very many times, and it's very sad to know that it's like there is the plague where we have the scarlet letter on our chest, and to think about, oh, well, I'm going to go to the one who I think I can communicate with the best, or, it is. But to add on to something, I don't know if you even know about the R word.
Hang on just one second, Michael. We've got to go to a quick break here.
Hey, we're talking about what's one thing we wish we could change in the world to make the world a better place. And we're speaking with Michael from Bowling Green, Ohio. And he was so gracious and held through the break. And Michael, I'm just going to need you to rewind just a, excuse me, just a little bit, Michael, and share, you know, I had asked you if you have seen it in the work that you do, that people pass people with disabilities by because they can talk to other people. They can't maybe relate to people with disabilities. So pick up where you left off, Michael, because I'm sorry we had to go to that break.
It's no problem. And actually, yes, I've seen it where it's people walk into the room and they want to go to the person who they connect with or who they think they're going to connect with, and they avoid people like me or people who have a disability. And so one thing I want to bring up, mm-hmm. and it's a very sensitive subject, is the R word.
Wagbama, got it. You're welcome.
Okay, the R word. And in my state where I'm from, there's legislation that was supposed to eliminate the R word, but the R word is still being used. And I wish we can get rid of people thinking that it's okay to use the R word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, Michael, God, you know, he raises people up who can make, you know, other people more aware of these issues. And you are obviously one of those people that God has, you know, tapped, and he has given you this purpose and this mission in life. And I know Debbie will join me in all of the Take Two family in praying for you, that you are able to have an effective voice and that people's hearts will be changed, because our topic today is exactly that. What is one thing you would change about the world? And it definitely is something that does need to be changed in a lot of areas. So, Debbie, I know you join me in applauding Michael for this and offering him our prayers.
Absolutely, Michael. But this is why we pick topics like this. We have discussions because this is a worldwide audience. And the more we can educate, inform, and form people in the faith and just be able to make people aware that everybody's got feelings. Everybody has a heart. Everybody, we're all children of God. And I mean, we need to start relating like the body of Christ. So Michael, keep going. Okay. All the blessings to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time having me on the radio.
You're very welcome. Thanks for making the time to do it. Glad to have you part of the Take Two family. What is something you would change about the world if you had the ability to do so? 833-288-3986. We will go from Bowling Green, Ohio to Bullhead City, Arizona. That's where Mary is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary.
Hello. How are you folks today?
Doing pretty well. How about you, Mary?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, we're visiting in Bullhead City, but we're from Mishawaka, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
But one thing, if I could change, I would change the, I've been waiting so long, all of a sudden I forgot, the conversion of all world leaders, mm-hmm. but especially our own, when it comes to the dignity of human people and abortion. I was adopted 72 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, I praise God that my mother chose life. But that's what I really pray for. I pray every day on my rosary for our leader and for all leaders of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, your call, Mary, makes me, it brings to mind, you know, we celebrate saints' feast days on the church calendar, and so often we're celebrating, you know, King so-and-so or Queen so-and-so or whatever, and we hear about the faith lives that they had and the morality and the protection of their people and the things that they stood up for. And every time we have a feast day like that, I think, God, please give us leaders like that. And it sounds like that's really kind of what you're hoping and praying for, and you would change if you could, Mary, as well. And it just gives me hope. It helps me realize, you know, the world has known leaders like that in the past, and there's no reason the world can't know leaders like that even today and into the future. So,
Mary, I have a question for you. You sound, okay, I don't want to put you on the spot with your age. But you sound like you've lived a full life, right, Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Looking back, Can you tell us any of the things that we should have maybe been more aware of, understand better? I mean, I'm always want to tap into people's wisdom, especially folks that just have. I sense a real depth about you, Mary, and I just want to know what else can we do starting today that just makes us better people, a better society?
To have respect for the dignity of each individual.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much going on in the world, and it's so easy to gripe or be sarcastic or cruel. Mm-hmm. And even I am subject to that. But when I think about the dignity of each human being, that there is God is in them, and that's what we have to remember.
Right, right. It's so true. And, so social media, everybody, we need it to kind of, survive and work and do stuff. And people say it can be for such good because you can get the word out there so quickly, and it's just a couple strokes on a keyboard and there's your answer right there. But then social media, the demons are opportunists. They can leverage anything. They can use anything. And it can be a devil's playground. And, when you talk about being cruel to one another, I look at social media and you see somebody post something and they kind of open themselves up and they're vulnerable, right? And you would think that everybody would kind of pile on and give them encouragement. No, instead they tear them down and rip them apart. Like, it's terrible. I've never seen anything so cruel. And I don't know. That to me just, sometimes it makes me want to run for the hills, Mary, of Sicily, because I'm like, it's got to be a better existence not to have all that noise. But I tell you, but again, the more we do, more we have conversations like this, we're hoping to maybe make the first changes in the world. So that's what we should be doing, right, Mary?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I agree with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a couple of calls now. Mary, yours and another one before that talked about, bringing world leaders together, kind of cracking some heads and say, hey, guys, let's love one another a little bit more. Mary, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
Enjoy your time
there
in Bullhead City. Yeah,
I love Bullhead.
And Debbie's beautiful state there in Arizona.
Yeah, Bullhead City is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That opens up a line there. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on this Monday broadcast. What is something you would change about the world if you could? John has been holding so patiently. We appreciate that. In Tampa, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. John, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right. Thanks for your patience, sir.
Yeah, no worries. My kind of thing that I would change, I think, and I don't know if you could tell by the voice, but I'm a young man, so I'm in my 20s, so I see this pretty frequently, especially people my age. I think just if I could change one thing, I think I would just honestly get rid of, social media and, mainstream news right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people, especially more so with social media, people my age that they literally just can't communicate with each other anymore, and, you can't have conversations, and all they talk about is, did you see that TikTok or did you see that person's post or, and I think it's kind of really a lot more harmful to the society than we kind of realize. Cause I mean, eventually these people will be our world leaders and, and our doctors and lawyers and stuff like that. And all they've done for most of their life is their only human interaction. I mean, is through a screen,
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
John, you're awesome. You are totally amazing. I just had this conversation for about an hour yesterday, and I love that you're in your 20s and you're sharing this. John, I am begging you, be a leader out there and get people to start to realize they're losing the ability to connect soul to soul, human to human. I mean, Jerry and I do life coaching, John, and we get young couples. This is no joke, John. We get young couples that come to us and they say, we're having trouble in our dating relationship. And I said, okay, well, how's it going? And they show me hundreds and hundreds of text messages. Their dating life is all in texting each other. I mean, something's wrong with that. We need to spend time with one another. We need to look into each other's eyes. We need to watch our body language. We need to communicate soul to soul. We are made for community. And I agree with you, John, but see, since you see it and you're young, you're going to have to be the leader, lead one of the leaders to get people to realize that they're going in the wrong direction. And now when you add AI to it, oh, brother, now we don't even have human beings conducting the interactions. I mean, this is just, it's just crazy. What do you say, John, before we throw it to Jerry?
Yeah, and I mean, not to just beat a dead horse, but, you know, like you said, I know people, I have friends of mine, and I know people that, you know, I went to school with when I was in college. And even, you know, and just very quickly, I kind of had a recent kind of conversion about a year ago. So I'm also getting back into my faith. So when I had, you know, girlfriends and stuff in college, I still remember, like, there was no personality, just no, like, thoughts, no, like, opinions, no actual, like, nothing that was, like, theirs. You know, it's all mm-hmm. just, like, what I saw on Twitter, what I saw mm-hmm. on TikTok. And it's kind of scary because, I mean, I noticed at my age, like, these people ultimately vote in our elections. They make decisions that are important. And, like, they're so ill-informed because all they're looking at is basically just, like, the, you know, the trash chute that is most people's social media. So, you know, that's, I mean, that's kind of what I think about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't really add anything to the, I think, very spot-on remarks that Debbie made and that you have made, John. I agree with Debbie completely. The world is in desperate need, especially of young people right now, of your generation, who are, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to use a phone or social media and all that stuff, but to really realize the dangers that are there, the inherent dangers, many, many good, you know, applications of all of those things as well. But, you know, it just reminds me of that old joke, you know, what this young man said, hey, I proposed marriage to my girlfriend. What'd she say? Oh, she hasn't answered my text yet, you know? I mean,
right.
I mean, it's that's kind of what it's you know, devolving to, so. Mm-hmm. John, bless you, man. God, thanks be to God. You've accepted the grace to come back to your faith. Like I said about a year ago, you'll be in our prayers, and we hope that you will be a frequent listener and caller of this program. Thank you, John, very much in Tampa.
Thanks, John.
We appreciate that. Wow.
Yes.
That was
powerful.
That spoke volumes, that call right there.
I don't know if you've noticed, but recently in the past year, our audience has changed a lot to the those that are in their 20s and 30s. Because we know, because they've been contacting us saying they really like the conversations. And that's, I think, adding to what John had to say, that we want these kind of enriching conversations so we can learn and grow together and have real, you know, human to human contact. Right.
Indeed, indeed. And right back to your great takes on this question of what is something you would change about the world if you could. We're going to get to more of your calls. I just want to mention you can join EWTN for Wacky Wednesday on Women of Grace this Wednesday and every week at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. On Wacky Wednesday, Johnette Williams welcomes New Age researcher and blogger Sue Brinkman to Women of Grace to talk about wacky things that distract from the faith. They're not only wacky, but they're very dangerous in many ways. So Johnette and Sue are shining a big, bright spotlight on some things you might want to avoid. So don't miss Women of Grace Wacky Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and every day on EWTN Radio.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to Wacky Wednesdays. I love it. I learn something new every single time with the calls that come in. Sue Brinkman does a fabulous job with Johnette. I think it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. I love Wacky Wednesdays. Okay, Catherine in Cleveland, Ohio, on the rock. You've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to Take Two.
Yes, thank you. I just like the basic to say, people need to learn just to be kinder to each other. And if, you know, somebody, if something bothers you, somebody does, you know, explain it to them a nice way, and you can straighten it out rather than blame. And people are often quick to blame. Mm-hmm. Blame, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And just explain it a nice way. And what I'd like to say, if I would change some of the world, I'm concerned about the excess amount of chemicals in our country. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's an excess amount of chemicals being used on everything.
Sure.
And this is destroying our air and our water and people's lives. And I also, you know, at one time before World War II, all our farmlands other than were organic. We had no chemicals on farmlands. Mm-hmm. It started after World War II, and groups of people then went around introducing the farmers mm-hmm. to chemicals on the farmlands, and that's how it all started. Now we got mostly chemical farmlands, some organic, but chemical farmlands, and right. the chemicals in the land and water and the air is destroying our breathing, our health. And I think in this period of time, I don't know how many years mm-hmm. going back, but one of the reasons we're getting more and more deformed children, you know, and I, mm-hmm. you know.
And Catherine, we can even extend it to the hormones that are in a lot of our foods and things that are distorting the balance in people's bodies and stuff. I mean, you can go on and on. Catherine, I mean, I don't think it takes a lot to look at that when you start putting synthetic things on our food, in our land, in our air, in our water, everything, you know, for the sake of trying to protect people from certain things, or to try and produce more, or to try and limit the possibilities of things not being produced, or you follow the money, because there's always money involved. You're right, Catherine, but we're at a point now with all this quote-unquote advanced technology and advanced world and everything that we're so far down the road now, Catherine, it's hard to turn it back. That's, again, I will just say that's why some days I look at pictures of rural Sicily, where it looks so organic completely with no chemicals, no anything. And I think, wow, that is getting back to wholesome living. So I agree with you, Catherine. My dad died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they told him at the clinic, they told him that it was probably caused by the pesticides that are on golf courses, because my dad was into golf. And so I hear you. It's coming into people's bodies. But that's another reason we got to get people to do the right thing, you know, do the right thing for humanity, for civilization, right, Jer?
Well, I agree. And I think inherently we know what is right. And I want to go back to what Catherine, you said initially, and that is, you know, kindness. You talked about the need for much more kindness in the world. And how often do we see these one-day movements or week-long movements or a month, you know, do something kind for somebody today or do something kind for somebody this week? What happens when that gets proposed on a broad scale? People just love it. People can't wait to do kind things to other people. I think it's wired into us, but the world just jades us, and there are just so many reasons why we don't think about that. Or even when you do an act of kindness, you're kind of looked at as like weird. You know, what's wrong with that person? You know, they were nice to somebody. What happened? Mm-hmm. You know, so I agree with that. I zeroed in on that first part of your call, Catherine, but Debbie obviously had some very insightful things to say about you know your other comments as well. Anything else, mm-hmm. Catherine, that you wanted to add?
I'd like to say, I wish everybody would try to stop all these necessary chemicals in the system. If you try to stop necessary chemicals, because all it's going to destroy all life, and destroy everybody's life if mm-hmm. it's not stopped.
Well, it just gets back to, God had a design for things. And, you know, when we start playing God, you know, like I'll just use something like, you know, birth control, for example, you know, when we start to play God, you know, Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae was prophetic in you know, declaring what some of the fallout of that was going to be, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. We're going to suffer the consequences.
Yeah. We need to treat, God's creation with the respect that it is due. And,
right.
And not be, trying to tamper with it or alter it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, some things, you know, are necessary and good, but a lot of things are very harmful and dangerous. So mm-hmm. thank you, Catherine.
Yeah. The one thing I will say before Catherine goes is people are starting to get into home gardens. They're mm-hmm. doing a lot of gardening on their own, trying to get their fruits and vegetables and trying to do stuff. So that's been a good thing, that people are getting back to taking care of their own household, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Catherine, thank you for calling from Cleveland. We appreciate that. Patty is in Texas listening on our good friends at the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Patty. Thanks for joining us in this conversation today.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say first of all, what I would like to see change in the world would be all of us trying to have a better knowledge of God's word. Years ago, I lost a nephew, and I was already a practicing Catholic, devout Catholic, and I absolutely love my faith, but I wasn't on fire. I mean, I thought I was, but it wasn't until I began picking up every piece of literature that I could on my Catholic faith, and began reading scripture. And you know, because I happened to be a housewife at that time, I was able to, you know, study it, not just read it, but I had to study it because all I had was a King James Version. I did not have money to buy a Catholic Bible. So, you know, so that's all I had. And the translation was difficult. And so I would have to spend hours upon hours on maybe one passage. There wasn't, you know, the internet or anything like that. So I had to study to be able to comprehend what I was reading. That knowledge brought forth great, great faith and trust and belief. And the scriptures that just go on and on, fear not, for I'm with you. You know, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. You know, and they go on and on. And you know, if you ask me for something, don't be double-minded. Believe that you're going to receive it. And, you know, so prayer would be different if we prayed with the knowledge that God's words are real, they're powerful, they're alive, they're sharper than any two-edged sword. They pierce the very marrow of our being, which brings me to my fight with cancer. You know, I believe I heard in my ear God say when I first received my diagnosis, you are healed. I speak scripture to myself, so at first I thought it was me, but I'm like, wait a minute, I wouldn't have said you are healed. I would have said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am healed. But what I heard was, you are healed. And as the days unfolded, I came to know that it was the Lord, maybe it was my angel, I'm not sure, who told me, you are healed. And I know this because one other time I heard, I think it was either my angel or maybe the Virgin Mary that said, you're going to be in a wreck. And I won't go into that, but I was in a wreck. But I was warned, I was told. And so, you know, fast forward to today, you know, my family is so concerned about me, and I'm praying for them, and I'm praying the Holy Spirit rain down upon all of us, to descend upon us and fill us with the gifts, and that the Comforter will comfort. And because I believe that as incredibly difficult as, you know, what cancer means, you know, I believe that if they had more knowledge of scripture, it would give them so much hope, so much, and just so much hope. So if I could change anything, it would be that the world would take the time, make the time, because it's not easy, to spend time with the Lord in scripture, in prayer, because it truly, it's a life changer.
Amen. Amen to that. Beautifully said, beautifully stated. You're not going to get anything of a disagreement from Jerry or myself, Patty, because we follow Father Bobby Imperial, who believes in what you're saying exactly. Speaking scripture, living scripture. It's a living word of God. Speaking it out loud, living your life by scripture, healing's power of scripture. And you are practicing it, Patty. And I put you in the book, by the way, just to make sure you're doing well and continued healing. You said you got that cancer diagnosis. You want to make sure you're fully healed. But Patty, you're spot on. The problem is, Patty, because we always cover both sides of all sides of things here on Take Two. The world is telling us, oh, that's outdated. You don't even interpret it correctly. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Bible meant. Oh, that's not really what it is. How do we know that's true? That's what the world is saying, Patty. So we need more Patties out there screaming it to the world that this is the living word of God. It's the truth, and we need to live it. What do you say, Jer?
I agree so much, Patty. I pray for myself and the whole world a love of scripture that you have. I think I love scripture, but I'm hearing in you someone who I could really, you know, ramp up my love of scripture and my use of it, incorporating it into my prayer life and my daily life. So thank you, Patty. You will definitely be in our prayers. We appreciate that. Laura is going to finish us off real quick in Cleveland. We got about 30 seconds. Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Laura Wemos.
Hi, Laura.
From Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I want to get rid of all the street drugs in the world.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Definitely street drugs. Absolutely.
That would make the world a much better place. Laura.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Laura.
Insight to end the program on. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tomorrow's show, you guys did a great job for today, but we got another show tomorrow, brand new show. Don't stress about your prayers. Don't stress when you're making those prayers. We're going to talk about the stress part of that, right, Jer?
That's right. On every day of the show, we have the Powerhouse team we pray to before the show, and at the end of the day this year, we've decided to add one of the saints of the day. So, Pope Saint Soter, please pray for us today and all of the angels and saints. Want to thank again, of course, the show team. That would be Matt Charles and Ace McKay was on social media today. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. Until we talk with you again next time, have a beautiful and blessed day. God bless you.